Good morning. Today's Daf and Ksuvos Ayin Ches. We're starting with fresh today on the top of the Amud. We are starting with the new Perek, 8th Perek of the Masechta. And this Perek over here is going to be dedicated to the topic of Nichsei Melug. So let us take a moment to review what we already know about Nichsei Melug, and then we can advance the discussion. Nichsei Melug, so that is properties that she brings into the marriage. So in terms of financial arrangements, so a woman has the rights to own property. You're right. I know it sounds like a novel idea. It's not so novel. The woman has the right to own property, and when she goes into a marriage, so it's still her property. It's the title belongs to her. And but nevertheless, the Chachamim made arrangements, husband and wife, regarding basically a quasi-partnership over that property. We've learned already that there are many financial obligations that go in both directions, from him to her and from her to him. So properties that go into the marriage, there's going to be a quasi-partnership over that property. How's the what's the construct of that partnership? So it's going to be that she's still going to be retaining Karen. She'll still own the principal of that property. The guf ha-karka belongs to her, but he's going to enjoy the peros. Any dividends that come off of that property, so it could be, of course, literally peros, but as we'll learn together, it's not just limited to property, usages of an item, so that goes to the husband. So she'll own the Karen and he'll own the peros. Good. In terms of halacha spends a lot of time enjoying discussing and deliberating exactly what that means when you own the peros. So what rights does that give you in the item itself? Okay, the kinyan peros is kinyan aguf or lav kinyan aguf. Machlok is between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. I have an excellent feeling that that's probably going to come up somewhere in this perek. Okay, that's a classic discussion, classic debate amongst the Amoraim already in terms of how to view the kinyan peros. But right now, we don't have to get that fancy. We can just keep it nice and simple. And so that means to say that when a woman goes into a marriage, so now she retains the gufa karka, the title is hers, but the peros go to the husband. When does this transfer occur? So remember, there are two stages of marriage. First stage of marriage is erusin. Second stage of marriage is nisuin. Traditionally, it was a year separating the two. So when exactly are we going to have the husband acquiring the kinyan peros? And the answer is going to be second stage of marriage. Basically, we learned this from day one of the Masechta. All financial exchanges are occurring only at Nisuin and not at Erusin. Remember, it was discussion number one of the Masechta. And that is that the year came and went, and somebody's an ones. He's an ones. She's an ones. They didn't get into the second stage of marriage yet. They haven't done Nisuin yet. So are the financial obligations now enforced or not yet enforced? Okay, good. Now, being that we're going to be focusing on the Nichsei Melug, so right, we could talk about all the financial arrangements, but we're not going to talk about them right now. We're just going to focus on the Nichsei Melug because that's what our parak here is really going to be settled on. Okay, so in terms of Nichsei Melug, so he's going to be getting peros. Now, as we already learned earlier, Daf Mem Zayin and Ksuvos, so there is an exchange. And what the Chachamim did is that they identified this is an exchange for that, and this is an exchange for that. And they highlighted that the various financial obligations that the husband has to his wife is going to be in exchange for various financial vehicles that she's going to put into the marriage. What is the peros tachas? Meaning, what's the exchange for peros? Peros tachas pirkuna, right? And I told you back on Daf Mem Zayin, it's easy to remember because it's the pays, right? Peros tachas pirkuna. So that means to say that the dividends are going to go to him, and in exchange for that, she's going to get out of jail free card in the event that she's captured. And now there's a ransom, so he now has to ransom her. He can't divorce her, and he can't just simply say, here's the ksuva. No, he has to ransom her. So the peros tachas pirkuna. Good. That's what we learned earlier in the Masechta. And so good. So now we have settled on the fact that she's going to go into the marriage with karka. She purchased the karka. She inherited the karka. Doesn't matter how she acquired it. She was gifted the karka. Okay, well, it doesn't matter. She goes into the marriage with the karka. So now the karka can be structured as nechse melug, and so he's going to get the peros at the point of nisuin. So far, so good. I'll just mention briefly right now, although it's not going to be our topic, there is another way for her to structure her property when she goes into the marriage, and that's nechse tzon barzel. Okay, now I'll just mention it because we're here, and that is Nichsei Tzon Barzel, is that instead of the property being retained by her and the husband enjoying the peros, what you can do with properties that she comes into the marriage with is the properties can be assessed and appraised, and then what we're going to do is that we're going to take that appraised amount, write that into the ksuva. the property now becomes his, but upon death or divorce, he's now going to have to pay out the appraised value. Nichseitzon Barzal, iron sheep. Why is it called iron sheep? Because vis-a-vis her, it's iron, meaning that it is going to be a solid investment. It does not matter whether the property appreciates, depreciates, loses all of its value. She's still going to be guaranteed the appraised value of the property at the time of the marriage. Good. So that's Nichseitzon Barzal. So when she goes into the marriage, it could either be assessed as Nichsei Malug or Nichseitzon Barzal. I'm always wondering, but I never really know well whether, you know, who's determining whether it should be Nichsei Malug or Nichseitzon Barzal. Obviously, advantages, disadvantages in both directions. Who's making these financial decisions? I'm not sure. Right. Presumably, she's going to make these decisions or whatever. I'm not sure. Regardless. If just one more point, as long as we're here, if she gets property after she gets married, meaning she's inherited property after she's married, or she's gifted property after she's married, whatever, or she purchases property, if she gets property after she gets married, so then the only way it can go into the marriage is only through Nichsei Malug, meaning the ksuva has already been written, so it's too late for it to be assessed and to be inserted into the marriage as Nichseitzon Barzal. So any properties post-marriage is going to come in as Nichsei Malug. Okay, good. Our first topic that we're going to be discussing today is a really simple topic, although, as you'll see, it's a complicated equation, but the question is really simple. So she has her Nichsei Malug property. Good. Can she sell it? It's nice and simple. Now, after she's married, the answer is going to be unequivocally no. Now, I say the word married, so here's where English does not do justice to our discussion today, because as we know, and as far as halacha is concerned, marriage has got two stages to it. So right now, I'm using the word marriage, but I really mean nisuin. So after nisuin, the answer is unequivocally no. No. Right? In other words, he is now a partner in the property. Again, it's an awkwardly structured partnership, but still. In other words, after nisuin, now he's a partner in the property. She can't sell the property. Maybe she can sell it for a future consideration. Maybe, right, we discussed this earlier in the Masechta, meaning maybe what she's going to be doing is she's going to be selling the future. Look, right now, currently, I can't sell the property because my husband is here. But look, I'll sell it to you and with a risk. And in the event that that either I get divorced or my husband predeceases me, so then I'm going to become the full owner of both Guf and Peros. And then the property will go to you. So can she sell it as the future? So we discussed that earlier in the Masechta. Maybe yes, maybe no. Okay. Right now, again, if we could keep everything as simple as possible, so can a woman after nisuin sell her nechse malug? No. Okay. As complicated as today's daf is, we could say that as clearly as possible, and that's correct. She cannot sell her nechse malug property after nisuin. He's a part owner. His ownership is on the payros. She can't sell it. Okay. Now here's where the fun begins. Okay. What if it's before nisuin? Now, really, there are going to be, in our discussion in today's daf, there are going to be two variables that we have to watch in terms of her rights to sell the property. One, when did she get the property? Two, when is she selling the property? Okay, so let's start with the Mishnah. The Mishnah is going to provide for us four different scenarios. Let's begin. So let's say the property was inherited by her before Erusin. Obviously, Erusin is the first stage of marriage. So now both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are of the position that Mocheres Vinosenes, she could sell, she could gift, and Vikayam, and it will be sustained, meaning she has every right to sell that property. When are we talking about? We're talking about during Erusin. So over here, so in scenario number one of the Mishnah, she inherited the property before Erusin, and now her ability to sell during Erusin, lichatchila, 100% acceptable. Now, makes sense. In other words, if we just for a moment, we're gonna pause and think about it, makes all the sense in the world. Because at Erusin, did he become a partner yet? No. In other words, his partnership only really begins at Nisuin. So obviously at Erusin, we know the trajectory. We know where they're headed. They're headed towards Nisuin, but still. Because she inherited the property, acquired the property before Erusin, she has lichatchila every right to sell it during Erusin. Now, nafla mishnasarsa, but let's say now the property came to her during Erusin. Oh, okay, so now it's going to get a little bit trickier. Because again, at this point in time, he's not yet a partner, but they're married. Okay, so again, as I say it in the English, I know it gets confusing because married over here only means first stage of marriage. But still, as far as halacha is concerned, erusin is marriage. So nafla mishinis arsa. So the property now was inherited. She inherited it after erusin Beit Shammai Omrim Timkor. So Beit Shammai is of the position that she could sell lichatchila. And according to Beis Hillel, no, not lechatchila, only b'di'evet. So already now, at this point in time, when she acquired the property during Erusin, this is now scenario number two. She acquired the property during Erusin. She wants to sell it during Erusin. So let's just zoom in on Shitas Beis Hillel, not lechatchila. She cannot sell the property lechatchila, only b'di'evet. Now, what's the reservation of Beis Hillel? So again, a svara pshuta. Simple explanation would be, they're married. He's not yet a partner. Okay, but in other words, we're not partners on the property yet. But in other words, but it's easy to forecast that I'm going to become a partner, meaning we're already married at stage number one. All we need is one more stage of marriage, and then we're going to become a full partner. And now, right, pasnished. It's just not appropriate that you're going to be selling properties where you know I'm going to be a partner in that property. Now, I say that, by the way, but I'm just also thinking back to the first scenario in the Mishnah, meaning when she inherited the properties before Erusin, and now during Erusin, everyone agrees that she could sell lechatchila. That's also a little bit strange. Meaning, what difference does it make that she acquired the properties before Erusin? In other words, during Erusin, they are now they're not a partner, not a partnership yet, but in other words, it's easy to forecast. We're probably going to become partners over that property. Okay, but nevertheless, there's scenario number one, scenario number two. I'm Rabbi Yehuda, I'm Rechacham, L'fnei Rabbi Gamliel, Hov Zacha B'Isha Lo Yizkeh B'Nechasim. So Rabbi Yehuda says, the Amru Chachamim. So when the Chachamim hear this in front of Rabbi Gamliel, so they say, I don't understand. They was Zocha B'Isha Lo Yizkeh B'Nechasim. If he has acquired a wife, hasn't he acquired the property as well? The response basically goes as follows. I don't understand. I don't follow. Meaning, we're embarrassed about the Chadashim. And now you want to bring on Yishanim? I'll translate literally. We're embarrassed about the new. Now you want to bring on old? Now, obviously, they're making a point, but what's the point that they're making? So the way Rashi understands it, it's a simple pshat in the Gemara, in the Mishnah as well. And that is that, look, what's really inhibiting her to sell the property even after Nisuin? Whose property is it? It's her property. Yes, he has rights in the property. And yes, I know earlier this morning I called him a partner. But when all said and done, she's a title holder. She's the owner of the property. Oh. So on that, if you're going to try to force me to explain why she can't sell that property, Rabbi Gamliel's response is, anu boshim. I'm embarrassed, meaning I don't really have the best explanation available. And when you ask me a question, I can't answer it. It's embarrassing. So I'm already embarrassed to explain to you why did she cancel the property after Nisuin. And now, Erusin, you really want to push me on Erusin? Meaning she wants to sell the property during Erusin? Come on. As far as I'm concerned, I'm almost tempted to say she'd be able to sell the property after Nisuin. But I know that's not the halacha. But now Erusin, come on. Okay, so that was the back and forth. Nafla mishnise se levela modim shemach v'nasna shabam motzim yad al kuchos. Now, if the property came to her mishnise from after she got the second stage of marriage, so everyone's in agreement, meaning presumably Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel are in agreement that imach v'masna either she sold or she gifted it. So the husband comes in and motzi miyad lekuchos and just simply takes it back, meaning she had no right to sell that property. I'm a part owner in that property. I have payers in that property. She can't sell it. Okay, fine. So he comes in and reclaims it. Ashalonises v'nises. Okay. So now the Mishnah over here is dealing with another scenario, and that is that she got the property before Nisuin, and then now it's after Nisuin. So Rabbi Gamliel Omri Yamach Vinasa Kayam. So Rabbi Gamliel says that Bidi Eved, it would be a good sale. And I'm Rabbi Chanin Ben Akavya. Amru lifnei Rabbi Gamliel, hol v'zachah b'isha lo yizke b'nechasim. And he says, wait 1 second. In other words, now he was zochah b'isha, meaning now we're at the second stage of marriage, we're at nesuin. So shouldn't he now have rights to the property as well? Amru lehem, l'chadashim anuboshim, he'lo sha'atem magalgam leino yishanim. And again, the same response that we heard just a little bit earlier, but now in the scenario in which she acquired the property before Nisuin, and now she's post Nisuin, so can she sell it? So the Chatchila, no, but B'dieved, the yes. And in terms of, well, how do you understand? He married her. He's at the second stage of marriage. Why shouldn't she be able to sell it? And he's the response is, look, if you push me to explain to you why she can't sell property, even property that she acquired after Nisuin, like, I don't have a great explanation. Like, I know he has the Paris, but when all said and done, I don't even really have a great explanation. So now you're dunning on property that she acquired before Nisuin, and now it's after Nisuin. I think for sure she could sell that, at least b'dieved. Rabbi Shimon cholik ben nechasim lenechasim, nechasim hayudum labal, lo timkor v'yamachor v'nasa batel, sheini yudum labal, lo timkor v'yamachor v'nasa kayim. And then finally, the Mishnah makes one final point, and Rabbi Shimon's chiluk. Rabbi Shimon makes a distinction between properties that are known, properties that are not known. What does that mean? We don't even know what that means yet. That's coming up at the end of today's daf. And those properties that are known to the husband, she can sell. Those properties that are not known to the husband, she cannot sell. The obvious issue that needs to be clarified is Rabbi Shimon's going on which one of the cases of the Mishnah. Oh, there are only four scenarios in the Mishnah, and Rabbi Shimon is commenting on all four scenarios, one of the four scenarios, so he doesn't say. Okay, we're gonna make an attempt. We're gonna try to clarify that point a little bit later on.
There's okay. Only one case in the Mishnah where we take it out from Lukuchas, the fourth case.
In case number three, are we taking it out of the Lukuchas?
All the other three cases, we let the sale stand.
Right, and in the first case, the lechatchila she could sell. Right, in case number two, in case number four, so b'dieved. Okay, good. So, maishna reisha delo pligi, maishna sefer de pligi. Okay, so, so over here, the Gemara basically wants to understand a little bit better. Case number one, case number two. Case number one, she acquired the property before Erisin. During Erisin, she could sell. Afilu lechatchila. And then case number two in the Mishnah, she acquired the property during Erisin. So now, can she sell that property during Erisin? Not lechatchila. At least not according to Beis Hillel. Well, so it begs the question. My Beinayu, what's the difference between the two cases? Or Maishna, right? That's a better way to say it. And that's the way the Gemara says it. Maishna. So Maishna, Reisha Dol Pliga, Maishna, Seva de Pliga, Amar Rabbi, Amar de Bei Rabbi Yanai, Reisha Bezchusa Naflu, Seva Bezchusa Naflu. So the Gemara gives a Svara. I'll try to say it over. It's a little bit challenging. Look, in case number one, bizchusa, meaning right now, well, where is she standing in terms of her life? She's an independent. She's single, right? When asked the question, single or married, so she'll check single. She's a single woman. So that means to say that that property was exclusively hers. Aye. But if she acquires property after Erisin, bizchuso. She's not single anymore. She's married. Okay. And then the Gemara is going to ask the next question, the follow-up question, which is the obvious one. Wait 1 second. If after Erisin she's checking the box married, which is the correct box to check, so now, a boy, am I confused. Meaning if she's married, so that means that he now has holdings on that property. She shouldn't be selling it at all. And even b'dieved, the sale shouldn't be registered as a valid sale. So Ela Reisha Vada b'zchusa naflu, Seifa Ema b'zchusa, Ema bizchusa, ema bizchuso. Lichas chilo timkor imachor v'nasna kayim. So the Gemara says, okay, so we're going to say it like this. And the Gemara has a really interesting way to express it. If she acquired property before Erisin, bizchusa. She's single. She's independent. It's her property, exclusively her property. During Erisin, she's allowed to sell it. Afil lechatchila. Fine. Because when she acquired the property, she acquired it as a single woman. But now, let's move on to the second case. In the second case, so how does the Gemara say it? Emar biz, Seifa Emar bizchusa, Emar bizchuso. What an interesting language of the Gemara, right? Let's say it's her zchus, let's say it's his zchus during Erisin. Let's up the ante, by the way. Let's make this even more exciting. Look at Rashi. Amar b'schuso, erusin osa, suffek nisuin. Strong language. That erusin creates suffek nisuin. Shema tavo lidei nisuin, shema lo savo. Maybe they'll get to nisuin, maybe they won't get to nisuin. This idea that erusin is suffek nisuin, it's really hard to articulate. I'm going to try, because, you know, that's my job. And I'm going to try to express and explain what that means. But let's say what it doesn't mean. Okay, let's make this point as clear as possible. A man and woman go through Erusin, they are married, unequivocally. I couldn't say it any clearer. They're married. She has the relations with another man. That's adultery. If there are witnesses who see her do so, warn her not to do so, she's subject to capital punishment. So the idea that a woman's an Arusa and she's not married, or there is something deficient in her marriage, you can't say that. It's simply not true. No. So over here, when Rashi uses the language of that Erusin is suffek nisuin, all Rashi means by that, and again, I'm saying it like, you know, like I know the Pshat in Rashi. I don't know the Pshat in Rashi, but I'm suggesting, but I think I'm right. But I'm only suggesting. When Rashi says that it's suffek nisuin, all Rashi means is from a financial standpoint, meaning obviously at Erusin they're married, and the only way to terminate the relationship right now is via get. That's the only way to terminate them a relationship. But still, it's the first stage of marriage. They're not living together, husband and wife. There's no financial obligations one to another. And are we going to get to that point? The forecast is good. Yeah, we're going to get to that point. But we may not. So from a financial standpoint, we're looking towards a partnership, but we don't know yet for sure whether or not that partnership will come into fruition. As a result of that, during Erusin, so that's the Gemara's language. The Gemara is Amar bizchusei, Amar bizchuso. Or the way Rashi says it, right? Suffolk. Erusin is suffolk nisuin. Suffolk only from the financial standpoint. So now, when she acquired property during Erusin, now she got it at a stage of her life where there is a future partnership, but the future over here seems optimistic. In other words, there's a good chance that they are in fact going to they're going to end up becoming partners. In fact, it looks pretty good because they're already married. And now, as far as the financial obligations one to another, coming up within a year, and there is no turning back. Now, obviously, they could turn around. In other words, there could be a get, so forth and so on. But right now, we're forecasting a partnership. Since we're forecasting a partnership, and she acquired the property during that forecasted time, so therefore, she can't sell lechatchila. Okay. That's probably what Rashi means.
Correct.
It's easier. It'd be much easier. Absolutely agreed. Mitch, I agree. It'd be much easier for me to present Beit Shammai, because Beit Shammai says, look, financial obligations haven't started yet. Let her sell the property. Simple. But the Shitas Beis Hillel, which demands an explanation, the Gemara wants to know, and the Gemara gave an explanation. Okay, and I'm left now holding the bag, trying to explain what Rashi means when he calls the Kiddushin a suffek nisuin.
Financially, each Evan has their
right. Correct. That's a better way to say it. Evan has there. There's nothing to talk about. Choshe Mishpat. Now we have what to talk about. Okay, I'm Rabbi Yehuda. I'm Rilifnei Rabbi Gamliel. Okay, Ibai Lahu. Okay, now, if you look back at the Mishnah, look at the structure of the Mishnah. Okay, so we have scenario number one, property came before Erusin, she's selling it during Erusin. Check. Scenario number two, property came during Erusin, she's selling it during Erusin. Machlok is Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Good. Why is Beit Hillel say that this case is different than the first? We've navigated through that. Good. Then the next part of the Mishnah, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amru Chacham Elfnei Rabbi Gamliel. A dialogue between the Chacham and Rabbi Gamliel. And the question stands, Hol v'zacha b'isha lo yizkeh b'nechasim. I don't understand. He was zacha b'isha. He should be zacha b'nechasim. And the response, okay, now, that's going on. Well, we already have two scenarios presented. So the question begs, is that going on scenario number one? Is the question going on scenario number two? Is the question of the Amru Chacham and Rabbi Gamliel, is that going on the B'di Evid? Is that going on the Lechatzchila? Good. Don't know. That's exactly the Gemara's question. So, So when Rabbi Yehuda is wondering, I don't understand, he was Zocha Beisha. That could have been going on scenario number one. It could also be going on scenario number two. Because in either scenario, when is she looking to sell the property? During Erison. So which one is the Amru Chachamim going on? Right? I say Amru Chachamim, Rabbi Yehuda is the one presenting it, but okay, either way. Okay, so Tashma. So now we're on the Amud Beis, and the Gemara says, well, let's see, D'tanya, we have a Braisa, Amru Rabbi Yehuda, Amru, Lifnei Rabbi Gamliel, this is the Amru Chachamim, right? But this is a Braisa version, which is going to be a little bit clearer in terms of what exactly it's asking. Ho'o v'zu ishto, v'zu ishto, they're both ishto. So since they're both ishto, so I don't understand. So I don't understand. So it should be the same. So in other words, just like in the case of Nisun, she can't sell property. So too in the case of Erison, she can't sell property. So, and therefore, machrabato. And therefore, what should I say? There should be no mechira, period. So avzu machrabato. Meaning during Nisun, what happens to her mechira? It's nullified. So shouldn't we say the same thing regarding Erison? The mechira should be nullified. So Amr Lehem, so this is now Rabbi Gamliel's response to the Chachamim. Ala Chadashim, Anuboshim, Ela Shatem Megalgalam Lenu Seishanim. Okay, so his response is, look, push comes to shove. I don't even have a wonderful explanation for post-Nisuan sale. Okay, meaning I know the sale is void, but I don't have a great explanation. I'm a little bit embarrassed. So over there, now you're pushing me over there. Don't push me anymore. Meaning now you're going to be asking about Erison. Like, look, she could sell during Erison. Or to say it a little bit better, if she sells during Erison, the sale is valid. Okay, so Shmamina Dievi Kamar. Again, from the back and forth in this Bryce's version, it's clear the question was going on b'dievet, not lechatchila, right? Again, because in the Bryce, so what did we just see? The exchange was, I don't understand the Nisuin. In Nisuin, it's voided. It should also be voided in Erison. Right, you hear that? You hear the tone of that discussion? It's clearly talking about b'dievet, not lechatchila. Good. Tanya Amar Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya lokach yishim ram Gamliel lechachamim. The Gemara now is bringing up Braisa. Now this Braisa is not going to be in agreement with what we just heard. So if you're going to be a little bit confused, it's because this Braisa is in fact different. Okay, let's see how it's different. And in this Braisa, so Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya says, no, you got the dialogue wrong. The back and forth he got wrong. And Ella, kacheshivon. When Rabbi Gamliel was responding to the Chacham, and this is how he responded. Lo. Im amart ben nesua shekein ba'al hazaka b'mitziyasav v'masi hadafa faras nadareha. He says, what's the difference between Nisuin and Erison? It's easy. What's the difference between Nisuin and Erison? At the point of Nisuin, so the husband is going to be acquiring her mitziyah, her maisi adayim, her has the ability to be made for neder. Basically, all the financial obligations that the husband enjoys at the point of Nisuin, and now you're asking me why she can't sell property during Nisuin? Look, at this point in time now, he already has financial benefits of the marriage. So therefore, as part of the financial package, including that is his ability to block her sale of Nechse Malug. Tomer Barusa, Shein Bala Zakalob Mitsiasa, Veloba Masiada, Veloba Afars Nadal Reha. And meanwhile, at Erison, he doesn't have any of the financial benefits of the marriage. So, in other words, so here in the Braisa, a clear delineation between Erison and Nisuin vis-a-vis. Why? During Nisuin, a sale of her Nichsa Malug is voided. During Erison, it's not voided. Okay. So, the Amru Lo Rebbe, Machra La Achelo Nises, and Nises Vacha Kach Machra Mahu. Okay, so. I certainly understand when she's selling property, that she acquired after Nisuin. Good. I got it. Meaning, the Chachamim say back to Rabbi Gamliel, so far so good. Properties after that she acquires after Nisuin, we're with you. However, Nises v'achakach machra, but if we're talking about properties that she acquired before Nisuin and now it's post Nisuin, what would be the halacha? So his response over here in this Braisa, Rabbi Gamliel's response is, Mocheres v'nosenes v'kayam. Though she could sell. Afilu chatchila. Now, does that sound original? Of course it sounds original. That we haven't heard yet. that there's an opinion out there that allows her to sell her Nichsei Maluk property as long as she acquired it prior to the marriage. She can then sell it even after Nisuin. And over here, right, even Lechatchila. That's amazing. We haven't heard that before. That's what I said. The Braisa is new. It's novel. So Amr lo hol v'zacha b'isha lo yizka b'nechasim. And so now the exchange over here, like we've been saying all morning, and that is they don't understand. I don't understand. She's married, Nisua. They have a financial partnership. So if he now is zocha b'isha, now isn't he going to be zocha b'nechasim as well? Why can't he block the sale of those properties? Look, push comes to shove. Why can't she sell property? Even properties that she acquired after Nisuin? She can't, but I don't have a great explanation. But she can't. So over there, I'm embarrassed about that. Properties that she acquired before Nisuin. So should she be able to sell that after Nisuin? Yeah, I think so. Now, v'hanantanan achelo nises. V'nises rabbi gamla omer. Imachum v'nasa kayam. And now the Gemara is just simply picking up and noting, hey, there's a big difference between the Braisa we just learned together and our Mishnah. Meaning, in the Braisa we just learned together, any properties that she inherited before Nisuin, she could sell after Nisuin, even Lechatchila. And that's not how we started our morning. We started our morning saying that was scenario number 4 in the Mishnah, is that any properties that she gets before Nisuin, she's not allowed to sell after Nisuin. According to Rabbi Gamliel, she could sell B'di'evit. But that's only B'di'evit, not Lechatchila. So the Gemara says, V'anan Tanan, Ashelo Niseis, V'Niseis, Rabbi Gamliel, Amr, Emachem, V'Nasakayim. So Amr Azvid, Mocheres V'Nosenes, I'm sorry, Tani, Mocheres V'Nosenes Kayim. Now the way Rashi understands the Gemara over here, and that is that we're going to have to edit. Meaning in order to create agreement between the Mishnah and the Braisa, we're going to have to edit. Now the way Rashi presents it, what are we going to be editing? We'll be editing the Mishnah. And that, so that the Mishnah now agrees with the Braisa. So now with the Mishnah presents a position of Rabbi Gamliel, any properties that she acquires before Nisuin, she can sell afilu lechatchila after the Nisuin. That's the way Rashi understands it. Now hopefully you're wondering, wait one second. That's right. That's amazing. In other words, we have a Mishnah, we have a Braisa, right? They don't agree. We're going to edit. In other words, at this point in time, throughout Shas, right? Certainly the impression we all get is that the Mishnah is much more authoritative. The Mishnah is a much more edited document than that of any Braisa, right? The Braisas are not, by definition, the word Braisa comes from the word Bra, means outside, meaning they are not, they didn't, I'm just trying to make sure I'm saying it appropriately. But in other words, the Braisas are just simply not as authoritative. Let's say it like that. The Braisas are not as authoritative as the Mishnah. And over here, because of disagreement between a Mishnah and a Braisa, we're going to go ahead and edit a Mishnah. Okay, so if that's what you're thinking, you're going to be in really good company because Tosus is bothered by exactly that question. Tosus therefore learns the Gemara here a little bit differently. But right now, I presented the Gemara, I presented it like Rashi. Okay, and yes, it's strange. Okay. Rapapa Amar Lokasha, Ha Rabbi Yehuda Aliba Derabbi Gamliel, Ha Rabbi Chanan Ben Akavya Aliba Derabbi Gamliel. Another way to resolve the issue between the discrepancy between the Mishnah and the Braisa is that it's really two versions of Rabbi Gamliel. One version of Rabbi Gamliel that says that properties that she acquires before Nisuin she can sell after Nisuin, but only B'di'evin Alechatchila, and another version, which is that she could sell it Afil Alechatchila. Okay. Now, Rabbi Chanan Ben Akavya Kibay Shammai. So the Gemara says, okay, but that's a little bit strange now. Comes out that Rabbi Chanan ben Akavya, you're putting him alongside, together with the Shita Beis Shammai. It can't be Beis Hillel. Why? Because what do we learn from Beis Hillel? From Beis Hillel's standpoint, scenario number 2, that's talking about properties that she gets before Erusin. And even during Erusin, she can't sell B'di'evit. And now we're after Nisuin. It would not be a stretch. It would pretty much be one of the easier things we could say this morning. If according to Beis Hillel, lichatchila she can't sell the properties during Erusin, so for sure she cannot be selling the properties during Nisuin. Okay, that seems to be true. But if that's true, then Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya is going like Beis Shammai and not like Beis Hillel. That's a little bit strange. So Hachi Kamer, the Gemara says, yeah, I know, but here's what he would tell you. Lo nechluku Beis Shammai Beis Hillel davar zeh. He disagrees with that Mesorah, meaning we have a Mesorah that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are arguing about that, and Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya says, I don't know of such a Masara. I don't have such a Masara. My Masara tells me that Rabbi, that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel don't disagree on this issue. And that during Erusin, you could sell Afil Lechatchila. Okay, so where are we right now? Juggling a lot of opinions. I told you, at the beginning it was easy, and then the end of today's daf, it's not a difficult discussion, it just happens to be that there are a lot of opinions, and there's a lot to juggle over here. Okay, let's quickly, we're almost done with today's daf. Let's quickly recap, let's reset, and then we'll finish off. Okay, so what we're litigating today, it's one issue and only one issue, and that is a woman's ability to sell her Nechsei Malok property. Okay, so a woman gets married, and so there are two points of consideration. One, when did she get the property? Two, when is she selling the property? Okay, so we'll start off with scenario number one, where there's no disagreement. And that is that she acquired the property before Erusin, and now she wants to sell the property during Erusin. So check. In fact, double check. In other words, afila chasila, that she could do. That was the opening line of the Mishnah. There, no equivocation. Okay, now here's where it starts getting tricky. And that is that she gets the property during Erusin, and now she wants to sell it during Erusin. So over there, at least according to our Mishnah, so the machlok is between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai says that afila chachila she could sell. According to Beis Hillel, she can not sell lechachila, but only b'di'evit. By the way, haven't mentioned it, but as long as we're here reviewing, so let's just quickly mention. It comes out now that Beis Hillel is being a little bit machmir. Isn't that true? Okay, so that is an anomaly. Meaning normally, Machlok is Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel comes out to be the Mekel, and Beis Shammai comes out to be the Machmir. Tosfos on the Amud Aleph is bothered by the simple question that we have a listing of all the times that that Beis Hillel is a Machmir. And this didn't make the list. So so Tosfos wonders why didn't this make the list. But
it depends whose side you're looking at. It could make up from if you look at the other side.
Okay, so Tosfos answers, Ben intuited. Mm-hmm. Okay, right? I suspect you looked at Tosos, but Ben intuited, and he's absolutely correct. In other words, whenever you talk about monetary issues, the word chumra and kula is just simply not applicable. It's not relevant, right? To machmir, mekel, meaning we're talking about money. Someone's going to gain, someone's going to lose. Okay, so the word machmir is a totally NA application to whenever we deal with money. It's good. Okay, anyway, so that is scenario number two. And then after that, scenario number three is where she acquired property during the Erusin, and now the question of whether or not she could be selling it during the Nisuin. So is that going to work? Are those properties going to be, in fact, be sold? Okay, and that was, and back and forth over there on that scenario as well. Okay. Rav Ushmuel. So wait, can scenario number two or scenario number three?
After
Nisuin.
I thought the
lesson
was
they both agree that she couldn't sell because he's got that.
Misha Nisei Seila Vela Modim Shemach Manasa Shaba Mosimia Lukuchas. Right. So after she gets married, meaning, but in scenario number three, sorry, I wasn't clear about this, so let me clarify for better. In scenario number three, she acquired the property after Nisuin. And now she wants to sell that property, obviously, after Nisuin as well. Eila Vela Modim, we have agreement. And then, what about properties that came to her before Nisuin, and now she wants to sell it during Nisuin? So there, we have a range of positions. Okay,
there, they don't argue. They don't say anything. They're silent.
It sounds that way. Okay. Good. And we have a range of positions over there. Okay, Rav Ushmuel Amar Tavai, we're back in the Gemara. We're in Ein Ches Amud Beis. We're about halfway down on the Amud. So Rav Shmuel Amar Tavai Ben Shenafel Lanechasim Ashel Nisarso Ben Shenafel Lanechasim Shenisarso Veniseis Habal Mosi Mi'al Lekuchos. So Rav Shmuel take the following position, and that is that the properties came to her before Erusin, the properties came to her during Erusin, and she goes through Nisuin. Once she hits the point of Nisuin, those properties are locked. He now has the ability and the right to block sales. Okay. Now, who is that going like? So hopefully at this point in time, it's going like nobody. So, haba motzim yad lekuchos. Come on, delo ke Rabbi Yehuda. Velo ke Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya. It's not going like Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yehuda, b'di'evit, the sale is valid. According to Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya, the sale can be done afilu lechatchila. So the Gemara says, so now Rav Shmuel is taking a position that those lands are locked. Those are landlocked. Okay, not to be taken literally over here. Okay, and the but in other words, but she cannot sell the land. Afilu b'dieved, those sales are, the sale is not going to be a valid sale. And now, good. Encumbered. The lands are encumbered. Correct. Thank you. So the Gemara says inu damrika rabbeinu. So the Gemara says, yeah, they do follow. They follow shitas rabbeinu. Okay. So what we just now have is a new shita. Right, to us, it's coming out of left field. It's not coming out of left field. Meaning it was part of the Mesorah. Why wasn't included in the Mishnah? Why didn't we see in the Braisa? Questions I don't have answers to, but it was the rabbeinu. Detanya, the Gemara quotes a Braisa. It's another Braisa. Rabbeinu chazer v'nimnu. So, and probably because, not probably, the Gemara says it, and that this was a later decision, meaning a Beis Din convened, reconvened. I don't know which Beis Din, I don't know when, but doesn't matter. A later Beis Din convened, reconvened, and reconsidered. And now what comes out is that once she goes through Nisuin, it does not matter when she acquired that property. She acquired it during Nisuin. She acquired it during Erisin. She acquired it before Erisin. You can go through over any permutation. Once she goes to the second stage of marriage of Nisuin, she cannot sell that property. So, Ben Shanafla, Chilotisaris, Ben Shanafla, Mishinisaris of Anises, Haba Motimiala Kuchos. Good. So, that is the Gemara's conclusion on this discussion, which is funny, by the way, because after having gone through the entire Gemara, right, had you not read the end, so obviously, who would have known? Meaning, this is a new shita being presented to us.
I mean, like, once the husband gains claim to the fruit of her hand through Nisuin, then he can make a fairly decent argument.
Right. What Ben's pointing out, by the way, and right, I alluded to this earlier this morning, is that this position happens to be the easiest to explain. Meaning, when all said and done, at the point of Nisuin, partnership. Partnership is created between him and her. And again, it's not a classic partnership. In other words, he doesn't have a partnership in the Gufa Karka, but still, or in other words, but I could use the word, I could use the term partnership, and
he has a dower interest.
Correct. So the I've got accountants over here, I've got real estate people over here. Okay, so they're saying it better than I am, but we're all saying the same thing, and that is that at the point of Nisuin, now that there's a partnership that's formed, so now she can't sell the property. Okay, good. That's the halacha as presented by Rav and Shmuel. It's based on a braisa. Good. Let's do a little bit more for today, and then we'll conclude. Now, properties that come to her after Nisuin and her inability to sell that property. So the Mishnah says, everyone agrees. They both agree. So the Gemara says, now look, didn't we learn that? Back on Daf Nun. So where are we right now? Ein Ches. So we're at 78. We learned it back in 50. Okay. That's a long time ago, right? Almost 4 weeks ago. Okay, but still. So a woman sells her nechse malug property after Nisuin. So what the husband can now do is, and she dies. So the husband now has a first lien on the property. He's considered, right? He's considered like the first buyer of that property, and he can take it. And he now not only can take it, he will take it. So Abba Motzi Me'al Lekuchos, that's what's called Takanas Usha.
Not during the pay. You can't get the payers?
Huh?
You get the payers.
Oh, in other words, right. In other words, no, while she's alive, he never loses rights to the payers. But we're saying more than that, though. We're saying that not only is he getting the payers, but after she dies, he's also going to be getting the Gufa Karka as well. Yeah. Just wait a second, because effectively that's what the Gemara is going to answer. So the Gemara says, Masnisim Bechayel Leperos. And Takanasusha, Begufa Shokarka, Ulacha Misa. So the Gemara says, no, the Mishnah and Takanasusha are describing two different aspects of Nechse Malug. Our Mishnah is talking about the Peros themselves. In other words, our Mishnah is telling us that the husband can block the sale because he has the rights to the Peros. And and that's talking about while his wife is alive. And what Takanasusha is teaching us is that because he has a kinyan aperos, so therefore, after she dies, he now will become the de facto owner of the guf hakarka. He now can take ownership of the actual title itself of the property. His peros allows him to move in as owner. Someone else bought the property. No, not when he's a first lien holder. And that's Takanasusha. Okay. Rabbi Shimon Cholik Bein Chasim. So Elohen Yidum Ve'Elohen Sheinim Yidum. Okay, so, and then the last part of the Mishnah is the Shitas Rabbi Shimon. We'll just do this little section, and then we'll conclude. Rabbi Shimon says that there's a difference to be made between types of Nechasim. Whether those Nechasim are known, so then the sale of those items cannot be sold, versus Nechasim that are not known. Okay, so, Elohen Yidum Ve'Elohen Sheinim Yidum. Amr, the Gemara wants to know which is which. So Amr Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanina, you do a mikarkai, and you do metaltalin. So the Gemara makes a distinction between karka versus metaltalin, property versus movable items. So Rabbi Yochanan, Amr Eleveilo, you do an ain. Rabbi Yochanan says no, they're both you doing. That's not the distinction of Rabbi Shimon. Veilo hein shein and you do him. Kol sheyoshevus bekan v'nafalo nechasim in medina seyam. So we're talking about properties where they're over here, and meanwhile. Overseas, an uncle dies, and she's the only next of kin, and she inherited the property. So that is considered properties that are ena yiduin. So, and those are the kinds of properties that she could sell. Still, what begs clarification, which the Gemara, it's kind of funny, the Gemara does not clarify, is Rabbi Shimon now is describing what? Not what, let me say it better, when. Meaning we know what Rabbi Shimon is saying, we know the what of Rabbi Shimon. And that is that property is unknown to the husband, so she can sell. That's what Rabbi Shimon's saying. It's a discussion, not discussion, a debate that we just covered in terms of what is the definition of properties that he doesn't know about. Good. So, and then the when. The Gemara doesn't clarify. Meaning now that we know that there's such a thing as unknown properties, so she can sell them even if she acquired them after Nisuin? Are we talking about where she acquired them before Nisuin? Okay. Unclear. All wonderful questions. Okay, I don't know the answer. I know enough to raise the questions. I know enough to raise the. I also happen to know that the Rishonim discussed this very matter, but it's unknown. Okay, Adkan, we're going to stop over here, and tomorrow we'll pick it up with the Hayi Issa.